Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 131, Patrick here, CJ Evolution. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, thank you for tuning in. Continued thoughts and prayers go out to the thousands affected by Hurricane Harvey. And the related storms associated with that hurricane. Great people in the state of Texas, just so many people being affected. Tragically, 21 lives have been lost, and now the storms have moved to Louisiana. So please be safe, everybody. Thank you for the responders, the thousands of volunteers that are coming together to help these people in these affected states. So again, thoughts and prayers continue to go out to those areas. I want to talk today about iron discipline then and now. On September 29th, 1829, the inhabitants of London were witness to a new and impressive yet imposing sight. 600 uniformed men marched from the back of Number 4 Whitehall Place onto a little-known street known as Scotland Yard with the resolute intent of imposing law and order. Dressed in single-breasted blue jackets and tall chimney pot hats, these raw lobsters, or blue devils, as they were nicknamed, represented a new uniformed police presence on the streets of a soulless city. At the time, London, like many of England's 19th century cities, was reeling from the ill effects of the Industrial Revolution. Crime flourished as population rapidly grew in the urban settings. Filthy and overcrowded, slums spread rapidly, and the city was racked with violence, riots, and lawlessness. British Home Secretary at the time, Sir Robert Peel, recognized the poor quality of the police watch system contributed to the urban social disorder. In an effort to relieve a lawless city besieged by crime, Peel persuaded Parliament to pass the Metropolitan Police Act for the purpose of reorganizing and improving London's police force. Ironically, Peel's radical strategy was not universally accepted. It threatened the appearance of a military-like occupation of civil society and state tyranny. However, the effectiveness of these early police would soon earn them public favor in the more common nickname Peelers. With time, this reference and the term Bobby earned public endorsement. The first name reference was a reflection of the close association that grew between these police and the community they served. This has remained a proud policing legacy. The ultimate success of Peel's reforms proved profound, and they would come to revolutionize the field of policing into an honored and respected profession. Peel's fundamental principles for law enforcement organization are easily recognizable today. The police must be under government control. The police must be stable, efficient, and organized along military lines. Police headquarters should be centrally located and easily accessible to the people. The deployment of police strength, both in time and area, is essential, as is the distribution of crime news. Public security demands every police officer to be given a number. Police should be hired on a probationary basis. The prevention of crime is a higher duty than the detection of criminals. The absence of crime will be best prove efficiency of the police. Perhaps the most thought-provoking of Peel's fundamental principles were those regarding personal character. That the securing and training of proper persons is at the root of efficiency. Good appearance commands respect. No quality is more indispensable to a policeman than the perfect command of temper. A quiet, determined manner has more effect than violent action. The selection process for the early Peelers was meticulous and scrutinizing. Personal merit and impeccable character were important considerations for candidate selection. Candidates were even required to stand naked before a selection board in order to judge unmasked physique and to exclude the timid. With an understanding that discipline built effective performance, once selected, officers were bound by what has been referred to as an iron discipline. Peel's reforms, particularly in regards to discipline, were not only intended to promote and preserve the public peace, but to promote and preserve the public trust. Prior to these reforms, the public's faith in the existing police watch systems was faint, and with good reason. The watch and ward men were required to walk their districts once every 24 hours. Anything above that effort was periodic at best. Many constables actually evaded their annual and appointed police service by paying substitutes or deputies to perform duties in their place. These substitutes were often ill-paid, incompetent, elderly, decrepit, and essentially ineffective. Initially, the public's lack of trust in peelers was evident, and they bore the brunt of chastisement by a general public irreverence. Nevertheless, their vigilance preserved, and it was their iron discipline that eventually ensured a skeptical public the police could be trusted to perform duties faithfully and with effect. It was this vigilance and iron discipline that remains an essential element of the community orientation that has become the focus of contemporary policing. The significance of promoting and maintaining the public trust is no less important today than it was for the early peelers of 1829 London. Considering the growing attention directed towards more community-based policing, policing accountability to the public has become a highly visible issue. The effectiveness of law enforcement remains directly influenced and determined by public cooperation and support. That criteria can only be attained by earning public confidence and trust in its public service. That credibility, although hard-earned, is a fragile virtue that is easily eroded by seemingly isolated incidents of police misconduct. In a very real sense, the appropriateness of labeling even a specific misconduct incident as isolated is arguable. Unfortunately, the public's perception of police misconduct issues goes far beyond recognizing the specific nature of individual incidents. Such issues are instead associated with a collective policing image. This phenomenon illustrates a critical need for the police to promote the awareness of ethical standards both within the police and public communities. Like the early peelers, the police of today are walking a beat of a seamlessly soulless society that seemed to have trouble transmitting healthy values. Police are continually immersed in an unforgiving, virulent world that breeds disillusionment, frustration, cynicism, burnout, and exposes one to the tempting seductions of self-destructive behaviors. It is a profession that continually places the limits and vulnerability of human frailty in the view of scrutinizing public eye. Yet, it is a profession that perpetually demands the highest moral and ethical standard. As Providence would have it, the iron discipline that Sir Robert Peel advocated still remains an effective remedy against the arduous nature of the profession, both on a personal and organizational front. Yet the phrase iron discipline rightfully indicates such a virtue is not easily attained. It must be wrought into the shape through training and practice. Still, the forging process itself serves as a catalyst for the preservation of the policing spirit and a privileged professional image. As such, iron discipline remains more than a mere desired virtue. It has also earned the rightful claim to be regarded as an honored policing tradition. And that is by Jonathan Anderson, and I will have that link up in the show notes at the end of the show. With that, folks, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. I hope everybody's doing fantastic. Got a lot of great guests coming on in the near future. So stay tuned, everybody. Again, thoughts and prayers go out to those affected, the thousands affected by Hurricane Harvey. And please be safe, everybody. Thank you for all the first responders out there protecting us day in, day out. If you would head over to cjevolution.net, that's cjevolution.net, you'll see a link to iTunes. If you follow that link to iTunes, please rate and review my podcast. Also, if you need some guidance in your life, if you need some coaching in your life, head over to frameofmindcoaching.com. That's frameofmindcoaching.com and see what my good friend Kim Ades and her great team can do for you. Until next time, folks, take care.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.